Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
I want to begin by just reading this verse or a few verses in Matthew chapter 21, verses 9 through 11, because we have been talking about Jesus and who he really is. Well, here we have come to a situation where once again in the Word of God, people are confronted with who is Jesus. In Matthew 21 and 9, it says, "The multitudes who went before and those that followed cried after Jesus, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.' And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, 'Who is this?' So the multitude said, 'This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee.'" Now, we began this teaching series by asking the question, who do you believe Jesus Christ really is? And that is because your answer to that question and your response will determine your eternal future. Where you spend eternity is one of the most important decisions that you will ever make. And your wealth and your prosperity doesn't mean anything in eternity. Listen to what Jesus said about this. He said in Matthew 16:26, "What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" Now, this is the Son of God saying this to us. Of course, he knows the answer to that, but he's asking us to think about it. What are you living for in life if you can obtain everything you're living for outside of God? It's worthless. What does it mean if you lose your soul? He went on to say in verse 27, "For the Son of Man will come with his angels in the glory of his Father and will judge all people according to their deeds." Every one of us will be judged by Jesus based upon our relationship with God through him. Now, the Bible tells us that the only way to heaven is by accepting Jesus Christ as Savior. God sent him to be your Savior. He came to sacrifice his life so that all who believe and obey him will experience eternal life in heaven. How many of you are going to heaven? Let me see your hands. That's everybody. Great. I'll meet you there. John 3:36 says, "Anyone who believes in Jesus, God's Son, will have eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but will remain under God's divine judgment." Now, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit and with power to perform miracles to prove that he was the promised Messiah. In Acts chapter 2:22, it says, "Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." The miracles that he performed through the Holy Spirit was God's confirmation to the world that Jesus is his Son and the only way of salvation. Now, one of the greatest miracles Jesus did while he was here was he raised a man named Lazarus from the dead after he had died, or after he had been dead for 4 days. And in John chapter 11:41, it tells us about the story. Jesus had arrived at Lazarus's home and prayed that God would perform this miracle. And God did. It says, "Jesus looked up to heaven and said, 'Father, thank you for hearing me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now, Lazarus is dead. He is wrapped up in grave clothes. They used to wrap them up like mummies. And they put a napkin over their face. And they would also put some hardening solution around them so that those bandages would stay. But the Bible says in verse 44, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And so Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been to a funeral where the person who had died sat up in the coffin and began to talk to you. Anybody been to a funeral like that? Well, imagine that happening 4 days after the person had died. Martha went on to tell the Lord when he said, move away the stone. He probably smells at this point because he's been dead for 4 days. But Jesus said, do it. God's about to perform a miracle. The Bible says as a result of that miracle in verse 45, many of the Jews who had come to be with Mary and had seen these things that Jesus did began to believe in him. Now, our message today picks up shortly after Lazarus has been raised from the dead. Because at this point, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. On his way to Jerusalem, he stopped to eat a dinner served in his honor. And guess who was there? Lazarus, the man that he had raised from the dead. This is found in John chapter 12. Verse 1, it states, 6 days before the Passover celebration began, Jesus arrived in Bethany, the home of Lazarus, the man that he had raised from the dead. A dinner was prepared in Jesus' honor. Martha served, that's Lazarus' sister, and Lazarus was among those who ate with him at the table. Now, Bethany was about 2 miles from Jerusalem. So it didn't really take Jesus out of the way to stop there on the way to Jerusalem. And actually, this happened about 2 months after he had raised Lazarus from the dead. So all of this happened. It was still fresh in people's minds. And believe it or not, people from all around heard he was coming to this dinner. They came to see Lazarus as well. They wanted to see the man who had been dead for 4 days at the dinner as well. Now, the names of Martha and Lazarus are mentioned because it wasn't their home where this took place. It happened in the home of Simon the leper. He was a leper that Jesus healed. Miracles do abound. I mean, think about this. We've got several stories of miracles happening here. Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead, was in the house of the man that Jesus had healed from leprosy. After the meal, Mary, the other sister of Lazarus, did something remarkable. Verse 3, it says, then Mary took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard. Folks, that perfume today would be worth $40,000. And she anointed Jesus' feet with it, and wiping his feet with her hair, she was weeping. Mary anointing Jesus was an act of divine love and worship. You know, she's the one, the scripture says, that Martha had come out when she was sitting at Jesus' feet. She would sit down during the teaching ceremonies while her sister Martha would prepare the food in the kitchen. And Martha came out once and said, tell my sister to get up and help me in the kitchen. That's where she belongs. And Jesus said, no, I'm not going to tell her that because she's chosen the best portion. She's listening to my word. She's at my feet. Well, she continued, whenever Jesus was around, to take that position to be taught by Jesus. And so she knew, based upon what Jesus had said and based upon the season that was occurring right now in Jesus's life, that he was about to suffer and he was about to die on the cross. That's what he had been saying at many of those teachings. Now, I want you to think about this. This woman took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume, about worth $40,000 today, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it and wiped his feet with her hair. Folks, this is not something that was done. Her act of love and worship was public. It was spontaneous. It was certainly sacrificial. It was lavish. It was personal. And she was unembarrassed to do it. Let me ask you a question. When is the last time that you honored and worshiped Christ with a sacrificial, public, financial gift that was spontaneous and you didn't care what the people thought? This is an amazing thing that happened, and so I don't just want to rush over it. These things didn't happen, not at the time Jesus lived. This woman was overwhelmed with her love for Christ, her appreciation for raising her brother from the dead, but realizing now, this is really the Son of God. He raised my brother from the dead. She came to worship Jesus as her Savior, as her God. The Bible says, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Folks, let me just say something. When we worship, especially with our giving, it releases a spiritual fragrance to God that he takes note of. We heard the offering today. It's not the amount you give, it's how you give. It's from your heart. Is it a heart of love? Is it a heart of devotion? Is it a heart of faithfulness? Is it a heart not caring about what anybody thinks because this is between you and God? But her reverence to the Lord inspired everyone in that room. And Jesus took note of it and he was smiling. And he was so happy. But you want to know who wasn't smiling? The devil.
Thank you for joining us for today's message. Starting this Sunday, Pastor Steve will lead us through a powerful new series from the Book of Revelation. It's a message for the moment, and it starts this Sunday. Here's Pastor Steve.
Hi, everyone. This is Pastor Steve. I want to invite you to our Good Friday Candlelight Communion service
tonight at 7:30 p.m.
Our annual Good Friday service is one where the presence of God is so real. Many people are healed. Many receive a personal word from the Lord as well. You won't want to miss this special service. Please consider joining us on Sunday for our Easter Resurrection service as well.
Come join us tonight at 7:30 p.m. for our Good Friday Candlelight Communion service. Then join us Easter Sunday at 10:30 a.m. for a special service as we celebrate together. The church is located in the heart of the Metroplex at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. You can get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
Satan is offended when we worship and give sacrificially to the Lord. He hates it. He doesn't want God to get any glory. He hates it when we give the Lord glory. He hates it when we're willing to sacrifice our lives and our giving, our substance, our resources to God for the upbuilding of his kingdom. In fact, he inspired one of the greedy disciples in the room to speak up against it. Judas was the first one to criticize what Mary had done. In John 12, verse 4, it says, Judas Iscariot, the disciple who would soon betray him, said, that perfume was worth a year's wages. It should have been sold and the money given to the poor. Not that he cared for the poor, the Bible says, because he was a thief. And since he was in charge of the disciples' money, he often stole money from the box himself. He was saying, that could have been in my pocket. This was a waste because it didn't come to me. Folks, it's important for us to understand about our relationship with our finances and God. I mean, the Lord is always speaking to us through Scripture. How we give may be an indication of our love or our indifference toward God and the Lord. I want you to think about this. She gave a sacrificial offering of about a year's salary because she loved the Lord and she wanted to show how much she really loved him. But Judas showed his indifference toward the Lord by saying, this was a waste. This should have been given for a social development project. This should have been given for the poor. You know, it's important for us to understand, folks, that God really is concerned about how we give to him. It begins with, have we given him our life? Have you surrendered your life to God? Because if you have surrendered your life to God, guess what? Your wealth should follow. Your pocketbook should follow. Because when you surrender your life to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, I give you my life. I love you and I trust you with every area of my life. And in this case, that's what Mary was doing. It's important for us to realize that God really does take note of what we give. In Malachi 3:8, he says, should people cheat God? Yet you've cheated me. Listen to what God is saying. Does he care about our giving to him? Oh, yes, he does. Because everything comes from him. Everything you have belongs to God. He says, you have cheated me with your tithes and your offerings that are due to me. And Jesus set the priority for our giving to his work, the gospel, before social giving. Listen to what he said. He said, let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you will not have always. Understand the priority. I'm first. Think about me. Not only did Jesus recognize her, but he rewarded her sacrificial giving. And he'll do the same for us when we give in this manner. In verse 13, it says, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. Think about that. Jesus was so pleased that we're talking about it today. This happened over 2,000 years ago. And because of her sacrificial giving to the Lord, her love for the Lord, her recognizing who Jesus really is, giving her all to him, the Lord says, people will be talking about you forever because of what you have done for me. On the other hand, the leading priests decided to kill Lazarus too. They knew they had to kill Jesus, but now Lazarus has come back to life, and many of the people are following Jesus and have deserted the Jewish leaders and the spiritual people there because they're seeing he's got to be the Son of God. He's got to be the Messiah. Verse 11 says, for it was because of Lazarus that many of the people had deserted them and began to follow Jesus. Now, I want to share with you a backstory to the Palm Sunday celebration. God sent his son Jesus on Palm Sunday to save Israel, who was on the verge of disaster. Folks, we never know what season we're really in concerning our lives and what's about to happen to us. Jesus's ministry and his entrance into Jerusalem was a divine visitation. It was meant to prevent the destruction of Jerusalem and countless lives. In Luke chapter 19 and 41, it describes some of the behind-the-scenes drama as Jesus himself was approaching Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. The Bible says, as they came closer to Jerusalem and Jesus saw the city ahead, he began to weep. Outwardly, Palm Sunday looked like a celebration. They were waving palm branches when he got there. They were singing in the streets. They were dancing in the streets. But folks, things are not always as they appear. Jesus said on the way to the celebration, "Oh, how I wish today that you would understand the way to your peace, the way to your safety, the way to your prosperity." He was saying, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who killed the prophets, I wish you would have understood that this special day was a day that God set aside for your peace, for your safety, for your prosperity. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes." And then Jesus spoke prophetically over the city. He said, "Before long, your enemies will build barricades against your walls and encircle you from every side. They will crush you to the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not realize the day of your visitation and accept your opportunity for salvation." Israel's time of visitation from God was Palm Sunday. It had much more significance than they thought. They were really caught up with the salvation of being set free from the Roman nation that enslaved them, not really enslaved them, but actually was over Judea at that time in Jerusalem. So they were looking for a savior, and they believed that the Messiah's coming would deliver them from Roman rule. And so as we read the story, let's look at it again. They were calling for a savior, but they would not submit to his lordship. How many people want Jesus to be their savior, but refuse to submit to his lordship? They say, "I'm saved because I believe. I've said Hosanna." But the truth is, unless you are obeying God, and if you're not obeying the scriptures, folks, you should not think that you have a relationship with God. Because the Bible says not only to believe, but you must obey God to be his child.
Thank you for joining us again today for A Place to Grow. If you would like to get a copy of today's message, you can download it for free by going to our website, aplacetogrow.org. Navigate to the Media tab and click on Audio Messages. You can also help us keep this radio ministry alive by making a donation on our website as well. That's aplacetogrow.org. Today's message is part 3 of Jesus Christ, Son, Savior, Miracle Worker. Now Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
This is Pastor Steve, and perhaps you have not lived up to your Christian devotion to God as you should this week. And, you know, you're even being tempted by the enemy. I want to pray right now that God will give you strength and that spirit that is coming against you would be broken by the power and the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, you know, we are in spiritual warfare. That's why we pray. Prayer is warfare. And I want to pray a prayer for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against every satanic attack against the people. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we command the powers of darkness to leave them, to leave their family, to leave their home. Father, we stop this attack in the name of Jesus Christ, who said through his name we have power over all of the power of the enemy. Father, I pray that you will restore peace in their lives and peace in their homes and peace on the job. Father, so many right now not knowing what to do because of what's happening in the world. We pray for the peace of God and give them direction and help them in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe it will be well with every one of our listeners. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you were touched by today's message. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR.